Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our Florida Roundtable podcast at BillMick.com. Being located on the Space Coast, I get to see a lot of activity of America's space program, from what seem like weekly launches, sometimes multiple launches in a week, to manned missions to the International Space Station, and now, even beyond, space, especially from Florida, is a very busy place. Back with us on the roundtable this week is veteran space reporter Jim Banky. Jim's the one person I go to if I have questions on anything about the space program and where we're headed in the final frontier. And he's with us this week to share the latest and take a look at the future. Join us as we talk space this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced. Call now. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call the Home Warranty Hotline now at 800-990-6716. 800-990-6716. 800-990-6716. That's 800-990-6716.
Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Our guest this weekend, veteran space reporter Jim Banky. We're going to take a look at the latest in space from Florida and elsewhere and take a look at where we're going eventually. Jim, thanks for taking the time. It's good to have you back with us on the Roundtable.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be back with everybody and talk about space.
It is. You are the one guy I go to if I have any questions about this, because you've been at this for so long. You've been covering space for what, 3 decades?
I hit 40 years this year.
Congratulations. And you do it so well. I love it.
Thank you. And I feel just as young as ever, despite 4 grandchildren and 2 more on the way.
And your Vikings with a winning streak to start the season.
How about that? 2-0 Vikings against the 49ers. Who'd have thought it could be done? We are so thrilled at the Banky House.
I bet you are.
Still wearing purple.
I can imagine. Hey, last time we visited, we were speculating and wondering what was going to happen with Starliner and its astronaut crew. Well, we've got Starliner back now. The crew still at the space station. Give us the latest on that, if you would.
Yeah, well, and we could talk more about it in terms of the rationale of what happened. But, yeah, Starliner came back with no crew on board. It came back safely. Everything worked just as promised by the Boeing team. And now it's working its way back toward the Kennedy Space Center. They will have to take a look at the capsule. They'll take a look at all of the data they recorded during the time when Starliner undocked and came back through the atmosphere. And then decide what to do next, what kind of changes in hardware will be needed, what kind of additional test flights, if any, will be needed. Will the next flight be able to handle a crew on board, or will it fly uncrewed? These are all still kind of the open questions that there are no answers to yet, and we wouldn't expect answers for many weeks to come. The next flight probably sometime next year, if not late next year.
Jim, you told us all along that that vehicle was safe. They could return in it if they needed to. They chose not to have the crew on it coming back. Tell us what went into that decision, as far as you can tell.
Yeah, this gets into a lot of details and a lot of engineering, some of which goes way over my head. But, they looked at their data. They did tests. They did tests on orbit. They did tests of thrusters on the ground. We can get into specifics in a little while here, but it just comes down to what is your gut feel? What does the data tell you, and then how do you react to that as engineers and as managers and as people responsible for the safety of two astronaut lives? And when it was all said and done, NASA decided to bring Starliner home without anybody on board. The fact that it came back safely and had no problems whatsoever and could have very easily brought Butch and Sonny back home, you know, then the second guessing and the Monday morning quarterbacking begins, and you can start asking, well, did NASA make the right decision or not? You know, I think they had to make the decision they made. But there's a part of me, as there isn't a lot of people even within NASA and the aerospace community, that says, yeah, but, you know, were we too cautious? You know, the phrase abundance of caution, you know, sometimes bothers me personally in other areas of life, where the storm is coming toward Brevard County and it's 2 days away and it may or may not turn, but then everybody shuts down everything out of an abundance of caution. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you argue with that logic? How can you argue with that, you know, that sense of it's better to be safe than sorry? But at some point in a test flight operation, some point in a risky operation like spaceflight, you do have to take acceptable risks. And what the NASA team decided was that these risks were not acceptable. And who am I to argue with that? So Sonny and Butch are up there and will stay up there until next year. Their ride home is due to launch from the Kennedy Space Center here later in September. And we'll see what's next for Starliner. I think it's got a positive future. I think that they will decide what they need to do to make sure that it's safe to fly.
And we'll explore it more as we continue on the roundtable.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help, and you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously, if not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Veteran space reporter Jim Banky with us on the Florida Roundtable this weekend. Thank you for spending your time with us here on the Florida News Network. Jim, we were talking about the decision to leave the astronauts on the space station, return Starliner to Earth, learn what we can from it. And as you've told us many times in the past, every flight is of some sort of test flight, and you can't remove the danger completely from the idea of going into space.
No, and to expand a little bit on my comments earlier, you know, to talk about where NASA was at, what they're thinking. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, longtime Florida political personality, I guess you want to say, you know, going way back to 1985, 1986, you know, he flew on Columbia, on the Space Shuttle Columbia, the same month that we lost Challenger in January of 1986. And he obviously knew the Challenger crew very well, having been training with them at the time when he made his space flight on Columbia. And Bill, through the years, has always kept the lessons of Challenger and then later the loss of Shuttle Columbia as he was doing his congressional oversight as a senator. You know, that was always top of mind. And he said very clearly when NASA had the announcement about what they were going to do with Starliner, that they were going to leave Sonny and Butch up and bring Starliner home unmanned. It made it very clear that the lessons of Challenger and Columbia were top of mind and were very much influencing their decision as to how to proceed. And that decision was based on the fact that, you know, they had data, they had information that said the thrusters and the helium leak that was plaguing the service module of the Starliner capsule, a service module that was not going to come back to Earth, that is separated after undocking and burns up in the atmosphere, so they would not be able to get their hands on the hardware to look at it. So they had to decide what to do based on data and based on what they were doing with testing of these thrusters that had degraded in their operation on orbit. They tested the same exact type of thrusters in White Sands, New Mexico on a test stand, and they could not exactly recreate the problem. They could not absolutely explain in terms of physics why these thrusters were degraded and the computers had turned them off. They know kind of what happened. They know exactly what happened in terms of a seal inside the thruster that had expanded under high heat, but they couldn't explain why. They didn't understand the physics of why and what was happening to cause this. So you have a problem that you know what it is and you can't explain it fully. And you can't guarantee that it's not going to be a problem. And so the ghosts of Challenger and Columbia come up, where in both cases of the loss of those shuttles way back when, NASA had information about what went wrong. And they had signs, they had warnings, and they ignored those warnings for a variety of reasons, again, which if we had 5 hours to discuss, we could get into.
Right.
But they basically ignored those warnings, and we lost 14 astronauts. You know, that's a tremendous thing to have in the back of your head when you're the NASA administrator and when you are senior program managers in the Starliner program and within the NASA and Space Agency in general, the people that have lived through all that. And so it very much does affect your decision-making. And I think clearly, this is an example where senior NASA managers who had to make these hard decisions saw that they had data, saw that they had information that something could go wrong, that they couldn't fully explain what went wrong, that although they think they had good rationale to come back and good operational ways to make it happen, that it would be safe, it wasn't 100% deal. It wasn't even a 90% deal necessarily. And so, you know, to err on the cautious side, to not risk astronauts when there were alternatives to bring them back home that were clearly available in terms of the SpaceX Dragon capsule, bringing them home again next year. Take that option. That's your keep your options open.
You can certainly understand why that decision would be made then.
Yeah, absolutely. You understand it. And NASA's flight director philosophy that I learned way back when was to always keep your options open. And if there's another option out there that's available, keep it open, keep it available to you, because that's the way that you can manage spaceflight safely. And so the option to keep them up there and bring them back home on another vehicle in 6 months, take it. Don't take the risk. And fully understanding that spaceflight is a risky business.
Sure.
That spaceflight is hard, and all the other space-related platitudes that are said every time, you know, we talk about stuff like this.
Let's take a look for a minute. I want to get into the astronauts specifically a little bit later, but let's take a look for a minute at the business and space program implications for Boeing, SpaceX, and the program overall.
Yeah, so this is part of what we're talking about here in the big picture is the NASA's Commercial Crew Program. And so they wanted the ability to hire a company to ferry their astronauts back and forth from the space station, as opposed to NASA developing and operating its own vehicle. Basically, you know, it's still all government money, but the government doing it versus private sector doing it. That the theory, and well proved out, that private sector can do things cheaper, more efficiently than the government can. And so at the same time, if you're ferrying astronauts back and forth from space, you want more than one option. You want two options at minimum. So that if the one option fails for whatever reason or has a problem and has to be grounded, you don't have a situation where your astronauts truly are stuck in space. Sonny and Butch are not stuck in space right now.
Right.
And they are not stranded. And I'll fight that semantics to my dying day. But they needed two vehicles. And so you had, so in this case, you hire SpaceX and you hire Boeing. And you do the contracting a little bit differently, so that called a fixed price contract as opposed to a cost plus contract. Cost plus contract says, do the job, and if it costs more than we thought, we'll pay you that extra money, as opposed to fixed price where we say, we're giving you X amount of dollars to give us X number of flights, and anything that it costs beyond that, you eat that cost. And that's how this program has operated.
And businesses stepped up well, right, in that regard?
Yeah, it's worked great. It's worked great in a number of places, not just in space flight, but all over the government, certainly all over the aerospace industry. And so Boeing has to decide, okay, the amount of money they put into it, the amount of money they've gotten from NASA, which is not going to change. It's not going to, you know, get doubled just because they have problems. They're investing their own money into this, and they're going to have to decide whether it's still worth it. And as of right now, Boeing has assured NASA that it is worth it, that it is still important, that they believe in the idea that we need two different vehicles to have available to bring people back and forth from the space station, and that they're committed to this program. We'll see, of course. I mean, you know, the proof will be when they launch again, and things can change and the economy can change and different technical things can crop up to say, well, okay, maybe it's not worth doing. But right now that's the case. And so NASA's committed to the two-vehicle idea. Boeing is committed to making sure that Starliner can be fixed and flown, and I believe it can. I believe that these are problems that are solved, and they'll work through the finances and they'll work through the operations. I have a lot of confidence in Boeing and being able to do this.
On the other hand, Jim, if I'm Elon Musk, I'm happy to say, yes, I'm thrilled to go rescue your astronauts.
Well, I was just saying, in the meantime, SpaceX is in a great position.
Yeah.
They have a great rocket, a great vehicle. It's doing a lot of amazing things. I'm sure we'll talk about the Polaris Dawn mission here in a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, and Elon's not saying, you know, I got you, or I told you so. I mean, he may be saying that, and, you know, who knows what he thinks sometimes. But yes, SpaceX is in a great position, both operationally and from a public relations standpoint, to say, hey, you know, that company didn't work. We're here. We're doing our thing. But you know what? In the middle of all this Starliner stuff, their Falcon 9 launch and their second stage failed.
Yeah.
You know, so things, bad things can still happen to both sides. And, you know, I wouldn't keep the bragging to, you know, to a minimum a little bit sometimes, because spaceflight is hard and spaceflight is complicated. And, you know.
And we have a couple of minor shutdowns by the FAA over the SpaceX incidents. They've had, what, two of them in the last, what, 3 or 4 months?
Well, that's right. And you know, that's all very dramatic headlines and all that. But that's standard operating procedure. If you know, the FAA regulates and licenses these commercial launch operations. That's their job. And so when a company says it's going to do one thing and something wrong happens, and it doesn't do that, and there is a potential for a risk to the public, then it is the FAA's job to say, okay, stop your operations, tell us what happened, prove to us that everything is okay, and then we'll license your next rocket and approve the flight. And that's what happened. It was all very standard operating procedure. But, you know, that's part of doing spaceflight. That's part of doing operations in this modern world where the FAA has to be involved like that. So I had no problem with that. But SpaceX is in a good position, maybe not necessarily to capitalize on this, because, you know, they're not going to necessarily get any additional flights out of this. But if Boeing can't come through and there's no other option, then yes, SpaceX will get some extra business. And I'm sure they'll be renegotiating of contracts and whatnot. And maybe they do profit out of this whole mess.
Just under a minute here, Jim, but it does appear to me that there is opportunity here as this moves forward, that it's proven the NASA desire to have two systems available, and it's proven that regardless of what happens, we're going to be okay here.
I think we are. And, you know, there's a third option that's coming on board here, Sierra Nevada's Dream Chaser spacecraft. Is a much smaller spacecraft. It's a winged vehicle that launches on a rocket and lands on a runway. And they're going to be doing some test flights here, maybe yet this year. They're going to start with doing cargo to the space station. And just like Dragon did, where they started with cargo, they can move on to maybe carrying crew one day. We'll have to wait and see.
Want to ask you more about that as we continue in moments on the Florida Roundtable.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Having health insurance is important. So, if you or anyone in your family has Medicaid or CHIP, listen up. Check your mail for a renewal form from your state. Complete the form and mail it back right away so you don't lose your coverage. If you do lose Medicaid or CHIP, visit healthcare.gov to see if you're eligible to enroll in a low-cost, quality health plan. Keep your family covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Kronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Nice to have you this weekend on the Florida News Network with the Florida Roundtable. Veteran space reporter joining me, Bill Mick, for the discussion this weekend. And, Jim, we're talking Starliner and its return and two astronauts still in space at the International Space Station. And there's something that you were speaking of with multiple alternatives, NASA choosing to have two vehicles built by separate companies, putting things together. You just mentioned the third option as we closed our last segment. The one thing I've heard, and I want to clarify with you, is that the spacesuits aren't compatible one vehicle to the other. Do we need some standardization, even though there are companies that are competing for the business here?
This is a big point of discussion, I think, within some areas of the space community right now. This idea of standardization. You know, if you look at the aviation precedents, you know, you've got Boeing with all of their commercial airliners. You've got Airbus with all their commercial airliners. You've got different jet engine manufacturers. They all design things a little different. You know, one may use English and one may use metric. One may use this type of, you know, space-less sprocket, and one might use the other brand.
Cogsley Cogs, yes.
Oh, I did. That's right. Thank you. that was impressive. So this topic of standardization is an important one. And as commercial operations in space continue, I think some kind of regulation, some kind of industry standardization, doesn't have to be necessarily mandated by government, because within the engineering community, within other industries, there certainly are standards that people have developed over the years and use and rely on. So in this case, you've got Dragon and SpaceX, and they designed some interesting white suits that get a lot of attention for not only their utility but their fashion sense. And then you get the Boeing Starliner space suit, which is more of your conventional space suit, pressure suit. Sometimes when they're wearing them, it reminds me of my old Major Matt Mason figures and their space suits. So that's great. But now suddenly you've got Butch and Sonny with Starliner space suits having to come back on a Dragon. So they're going to need suits that are compatible, because they all interface with their capsules differently. It's maybe not quite necessarily the round peg and the square hole kind of deal, like the old Apollo 13 story when they had the filters they had to figure out how to work. And you had the one shape filters in the command module and the one other shape in the lunar module, and they had to figure out how to do that. They weren't smart enough to make the same filters for both spacecraft. It's the exact same way. Apollo Soyuz test project going back to the mid-70s, when the Soviet Union and the United States were going to dock together, their docking mechanisms weren't compatible. They were completely different. And you wanted to have a situation where they could demonstrate in-space crew rescue. Well, you can't necessarily easily rescue astronauts if you can't transfer them between the spacecraft without going outside. And so, you know, common docking mechanisms were developed and discussed and negotiated between the two sides. So there's all these examples from spaceflight history that I don't think necessarily they were forgotten, but maybe they just simply weren't considered. That, you know, you'd have a situation where one astronaut might have to be faced with two different suits. The Soyuz space capsule is the same way. It's a different suit. You have to have a seat liner put in the Soyuz capsule that's specifically designed for your body to be able to handle the reentry and the landing. So Sonny and Butch, for example, could not easily just go into a Soyuz capsule and come back without some kind of new hardware and new suits brought up to them. Same deal here now where, okay, they didn't come back on Starliner. Their Starliner space suits, I assume, came back home. You know, I never did hear specifically, but I certainly assume they didn't stay on the space station. But in any case, suits will have to be brought up for them. Actually, I think there is one suit that fit, a SpaceX suit that was already on board that fits one of them, and I think they have to bring another one up. I could be wrong on that, but I seem to remember hearing something like that.
Well, let's talk about them very briefly before we move on to other space-related things here. They're not up there on a vacation. They are actually assuming the role of this next Dragon crew, with two of those members. They're already prepared and ready to do whatever that's requiring?
Yeah, that's right. And so in solving this problem, you know, they've got a situation in place. And or a solution in place. And part of that solution, obviously, again, we say is to keep Sonny and Butch up there. No, you know, they go up there for 8 days and they're spending 6 months. It's not like they're twiddling their thumbs. They don't have anything to do. They have been actively involved in science operations and in the maintenance and the routine of spaceflight, which includes taking care of themselves and daily exercise. So they're not just floating there looking out the window. And in fact, the space station program manager was talking after Starliner came back that Sonny and Butch have helped make significant dents in maybe what you might call a backlog of science experiments on board the space station. Those are two extra bodies, four extra hands working on science, getting the routine maintenance done makes it easy for other crew members to be freed up for science. So it has been an unexpected boon for science operations on the station to have those two extra crew members on board. Now, in terms of the Dragon coming up here, launching in about a week or so from the Cape, there was originally a crew of four and only two will go up. The commander, a NASA astronaut, and then a Russian cosmonaut will go up, leaving two others behind. You know, you feel sad for those two others, but they will fly. Crew assignments aren't made yet. Anything can happen, but I would bet the house that those two crew members, one either together or separately, will be on the next available flight that they can get them on board. They're not going to waste that training or that opportunity. So I don't worry about the two that are staying behind. Sonny and Butch are very busy on board making, you know, productive contributions. Yes, they'll miss their family. Yes, they'll miss the holidays. Yes, they will vote in the presidential election from space. Those details are out there, available, discussed, and they can call home to the family just about any time they want. People may not know this, but there are phone calls, a phone system, if you will, where literally they call, the phone rings in the family's dining room, they pick up the phone, say hello, and it's Sonny or Butch calling from the space station. So it's not like they're out of touch, And NASA's very sensitive to taking care of crew morale and crew emotions and feelings and family relationships and all that. Lessons learned going way back when, and they will make sure that Sonny and Butch are absolutely having basically the best time of their lives. And if you're an astronaut and your whole life is about being in space, and you get to go from 8 days to 6 months, despite the troubles back home, if you will, they're happy to be there.
So
they're
you're probably not very unhappy. Yeah.
No, you got the best view in the world, the best view of the world in the world. And they're not fretting being up there at all. Let me tell you,
Jim, let's go with a couple minutes we have left in this segment and give an overview of the Polaris Dawn mission that also just concluded recently. What was it set out to do and how did it go?
Yeah. And let's talk about that as we go along. But the highlights of Polaris Dawn is this was a commercial mission paid for by a billionaire and took a crew of four up on a SpaceX Dragon capsule. It went into Earth orbit. It orbited the Earth. It did not go to the space station. They did some tests. They did some experiments. They went to an orbit that was higher than any orbit that we've ever been into in Earth orbit. The only time humans have been higher over the Earth is when they left Earth orbit to go to the moon. 875 miles was the highest point of their orbit, which is higher than anything we did in Apollo or Gemini. And they tested some suits by conducting extravehicular activity, better known as a spacewalk. We'll talk in detail, I think, in the next segment about spacewalk itself.
Sure.
But yeah, they opened the hatch, they stuck their head out, they closed the hatch, they came back home safe and sound with a landing in the Gulf of Mexico, and just again proved that a non-government space operation is possible. This was not the first commercial space mission, but this was a very important one in terms of some of the activities they did, including the spacewalk.
Jim, we're at 30 seconds here. How significant that they went farther than anything other than Apollo so far?
Well, it makes for great photos, and it shows the capability of the capsule and of the rocket. But the more important thing is this was another step in growing commercial space operations, not unlike going back to the first airliners flying and where one or two people flew. Now we have hundreds and thousands flying every day.
More on Polaris Dawn as we continue on the roundtable.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Great deals are now blooming at Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruit and plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists, top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
I'm a father.
I'm an aunt. I'm a neighbor.
I'm a veteran.
But out here, on the water,
I'm operating the boat.
A boat operator.
I'm a safe operator.
The operator.
If you're behind the wheel of a boat, you only have one job. Keep everyone safe. Always scan the water and be aware of your surroundings. Learn more about boating safety at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
There's a lot on the line this election. From protecting Social Security that you've earned to supporting family caregivers. And you have the power to make the candidates listen. Because older voters decide elections. That's why AARP Florida has created a guide with the most up-to-date information about when, where, and how to vote. Make sure that the candidates hear from you. Get trusted information at aarp.org/FLVotes. That's aarp.org/FLVotes.
Votes. Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Veteran space reporter Jim Banky joins us. Jim, we were talking about the Polaris Dawn mission. Now, this was a SpaceX mission, Dragon capsule involved, has gone farther in orbit than anything other than Apollo has as far as manned flight goes. And what's important about this mission and what occurred that's noteworthy here?
Yeah, so again, you know, this is just expansion of commercial space operations in orbit. Falcon 9 with the rocket, Dragon, the Crew Dragon capsule, proving itself to be a capable vehicle, carrying not only, you know, these commercial folks, you know, but obviously NASA astronauts to the space station. I think with this last mission, if I read the number, it's something like Crew Dragon has now carried more than 50 people into Earth orbit and back. So it's proving itself to be a very capable, very reliable, very efficient vehicle. And SpaceX as a commercial operation is smart to do this. It starts with a government contract and it serves with government operations back and forth. But now it has this vehicle that, you know, why not? If somebody can afford to fly on it and afford to pay for it, which billionaire Jared Isaacman is an example of a guy that can do this, then let's sell the additional seats. It's not unlike an airliner that flies a routine operation day to day. And then let's say Delta Airlines as an example, since that's our local airline here in Melbourne, Florida, chartering one of its aircraft when it's not being used to make a little extra money. And so SpaceX is chartering out the Dragon capsule to these folks and flying these missions. So now this guy comes along. I think he's bought like three or four flights, or has negotiated to buy three or four flights, including one eventually on the new Starship, the new Super Heavy Starship that Elon's flying out of Texas. And so Polaris Dawn is launches, and they get to do some public relations, some fundraising. They get to try out some spacesuits. This particular mission was very specifically included the first ever commercial spacewalk, is how they pitched it, so that they could test these suits, eyeing the day when, you know, folks need to go outside and fix their capsule or assemble things in a commercial space station in orbit. Who knows what the pot, eventually going back to the moon and on to Mars. These suits will need to be able to withstand, you know, walking around on another moon or on another planet. And so this was the first step in this mission to test out those suits, to start doing those kinds of things.
Jim, and did these civilian astronauts train with NASA, or does SpaceX have their own training facility? How did they get trained for this?
They do their own training. Simply put, they do their own training. This is not a NASA flight, so NASA people are not involved. Certainly, they consult with NASA and former astronauts and experts are certainly all, you know, employed and or consulted and are all part of it. But no, as in terms of a formal operation, this was a pure SpaceX operation, a pure SpaceX mission. And so they go up, and in this case, it was a very interesting spacewalk. They pitched it as a spacewalk, and so technically it was a complete success. From a public relations standpoint, and a lot of old-time space cadets, maybe some even grouchy and grumpy like me, watched that spacewalk and said, "What?" Because basically what they did was that so the Dragon capsule does not have an airlock. So all four of the astronauts had their suits on. Two of them were connected in a way that they could get up out of their seats and do, quote unquote, the spacewalk. So they depressurized the whole cabin, brought it down to a vacuum, which was the first, certainly first. This was all a first in terms of commercial operations, but a first time for Dragon as well, to depressurize the vehicle. They opened the top hatch, excuse me, and then they floated up and stuck their head out of the hatch. And there was the rails there that they called the Skywalker handholds or Skywalker rails, and they grabbed them on with their gloves, and they tested the maneuverability of the suits. left, right, up, down, pitch up and all that. And then the other one did it. And then they floated back down and they closed their hatch.
So it's a game of cosmic whack-a-mole.
Somebody's made that comment. So technically it was a complete success. Now, we were all kind of expecting floating out, free floating away from the caps and all that. But when the one guy went up and came down, and then the one woman went up and came down, and I started thinking, well, why did the other two get a chance? That was all they were going to do. And then they spent all of like 5 minutes up and back.
Right.
So visually, it maybe was a little disappointing, but technically a profound moment for commercial space flight. Very cool. Suits worked great. The whole mission worked great. And I think it's a very exciting thing about moving forward with operations in space.
And we'll talk more about moving forward and where we're going as we continue with Jim Banky in moments.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. 800-273-1623. That's 800-273-1623.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Bill Mick back on the Florida Roundtable to close out this discussion with veteran space reporter Jim Banky. Jim, let's move from what we're doing currently to what's on tap down the road in space. It's something I always love to talk with you about. Elon Musk has recently said that he anticipates a crewed mission to Mars by 2028. Sounds a little ambitious to me. Is it doable, or is Musk jumping the gun a little bit?
Elon has always been very optimistic with his schedules. And so while 2028 may not be realistic, what is realistic is that when he says they're going to do something, pretty much so far, they've done it. It may have taken longer, and we may have all I remember the day when we all scoffed and said, you're going to bring a rocket back and land it on land. You're going to bring a rocket back and reuse it after landing it on a barge in the ocean? Are you crazy? And he says, we're going to do that in a year. And then it takes 2 years or 3 years. But it's done. And now hundreds of boosters have landed. So he says, we're going to go to Mars with Starship. We're going to go to Mars with Starship. It may not be 2028, but it's going to happen. And is it feasible? Well, you know, they've had four of these launches so far of this super heavy rocket out of Texas. And each one has made significantly important progressions in what it's been capable of doing and what it's proved to do. And so the idea of being able to get to the point where he can send an uncrewed Starship to Mars, which would be the first step, and that happening in time for a Earth-Mars window coming up here fairly soon, if he can pull that off, that would be pretty cool. And that would certainly, you know, as soon as they fly the unmanned version out to Mars, then a crewed version 2 years later could very well be a possibility.
Is that an every 2 year kind of window, Jim?
Yeah, it is. It's about every 2 years or so that Earth and Mars line up in a way that it takes the least amount of rocket power to get to Mars. You can launch to Mars anytime you want if you have a powerful enough rocket, but the lowest energy possibility lines up about every 2 years. So Elon's looking at Mars, talking about the future real quick. Not only are they launching out of Texas, but they built a tower here at the Kennedy Space Center to launch that super heavy rocket out of here. In the meantime, NASA continues to work on its Artemis program and getting astronauts back to the moon. The next Artemis rocket, the pieces have started arriving at the Kennedy Space Center to be checked out and eventually assembled. That mission's still looking like sometime maybe next year, late next year. So other commercial operations are busy talking and working at the Kennedy Space Center and Cape Canaveral Space Force Station to launch their rockets from here. And satellite operators are all looking at things. So the state of Florida remains well positioned to continue to be the leader in space operations nationwide. And we're going to continue to see lots and lots of rockets and lots of exciting things happening, you know, from the Sunshine State in the months and years to come. No doubt about it.
Jim Banky, thank you for an informative and fast-paced hour today on the Florida Roundtable. We will stay in touch as we continue to see developments or changes as they may come about. And I thank you for taking the time. I look forward to having you on again, Jim.
We'll chat again. Thanks, Bill.
All right, Jim, thank you. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Again, catch up with our podcasts at BillMick.com. Top of the page, you'll see Florida Roundtable podcast there. And we'll see you next weekend here on the Florida Roundtable. Rory O'Neill joins us then.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.